to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
You can be seated today. You can be seated today. Proverbs 18, verse 21 is going to be our text for another week. And it simply says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Look at somebody and say, you're either on the wrecking crew or you're on the building crew. Say, you're either on the wrecking crew or you're on the building crew. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We're calling this little series we're doing called Me and My Big Mouth. Go ahead and put that one up there. Me and My Big Mouth. And I wanted to put a subtitle today, and Jasmine didn't like it, but let me just say it. Today's message, the subtitle will be Me and My Wife's Big Mouth. Come on, somebody. I'm including me and my wife's big mouth. That's the way I'm saying it. You're taking it wrong. You guys always take things in a See, that's your negative thinking. That's your negative, just automatic default setting. You just automatically take it negative. And you'll see at the end, we're going to end up today on me and my wife's big mouth, a very positive, I'm going to say positive, very positive thing we're going to be saying today. And you'll know that, so because I'm going to have a good lunch. We're going to end this thing on a positive note, I'm telling you. I'm not going to win no battle, lose a war. I'm 50-some years old. I understand these things. So we're going to talk about me and my wife's big mouth today. And we've been talking, a little bit of review, we're talking about our words. And God has some universal laws that we've looked at, that whosoever will, the rain comes on the casinos and the churches this week. Did you know that? The grass at the casino is as green as the grass in our yard at the church. Because there are some universal laws that God has put into action, into play, that we need to understand. And one of those is we need to change the way that we speak. I showed you last week that, you know, we use the old analogy of the TV and the guy that had the pair of vice grips on the TV thing. And I said, when TVs first began, they didn't have a remote control. You know, that's really wrong. I thought about that this week. I remember growing up, the first TV set we ever got, we got a remote with it. You know who the remote was? The kids. Come on, somebody. Go over and change that TV. You know, go over and change that. Go over and change that channel to channel 9. Oh, that is. So, but there was another thing. I don't know if you've ever watched yourself on video. How many's ever watched yourself on video? How many's ever listened to yourself on audio? Let's see yourself. And how many of you, when you heard yourself, you go, that can't be me. I don't sound like that. Do I look like that? You know, we had one time when I used to lead the worship here, one time I filmed the worship team and then I showed it to them in a practice. And I remember the comments that came out. I can't believe I look like that. I can't believe I'm this and that and this. And one of the hardest things to do in life is to listen to yourself. And that is to sit somewhere and have somebody have filmed you and photographed you and then look at yourself and listen to yourself speak. Because you, a lot of times you said, you sound stranger than anyone else you've ever heard in your life, on and on. And the reason of that is you don't understand how you speak and how you talk. And what happens is a lot of times we do not understand how negative we can say at times. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Everybody say hearing. Hearing. Not by heard. Not I heard an old story. It does not come by heard. Faith cometh by hearing. It's an action word that is in the present. You cannot live on yesterday's hearing. Faith comes by hearing right now. It's what you're hearing now. It's not what you heard 20 years ago. It's what you're hearing now. And so today I want to do this. I want to begin to talk to you a little bit about faith. We need to understand that what we say, our big mouths, has an impact on our hearing, because guess who you hear more than anybody else in your life? Yourself. Come on, somebody. Yourself. You leave in the morning, you're talking. You go to in the car, you're talking on the cell phone. You go, in your office or at school or in neighborhood or shopping, or and you talk more. You come home, you talk. You hear yourself more than anything else or anybody else in this world. And you need to come to a place where you understand that what you say has an impact not only on others, but also on yourself. We get used to the way that we are. And I talked about it. I said, you know, we all learned that when we got saved, we needed to stop cussing. Most of us learned that at least. And we learned how to change that part of our vocabulary. But we forgot that we need to change negative ways of saying stuff. Gloomy ways of saying stuff. Depressing ways of saying stuff. And we get into this because we're so used to it. We don't understand. There's a show that people are trying to sell their home. And what they do is they put cameras in there. And then they film buyers that are coming in, prospective buyers coming in when no one else is there, and they record the comments of the buyers. Have you seen that show? They record the comments of the buyers, and they come in, they go, oh, look how ugly that thing is. Oh, what are they thinking when they did this? And the people that are living in there never realize, but their eyes are open when someone else points out something, you know, not attractive, something ugly, or something good. So what happens in our lives is we need some people in our lives to begin to say to us, you know, that's not true. Who told you that? You know, there are things that we say that are absolutely not true. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but what demon in hell wrote that? Everybody in here has been hurt by a word. Is that right? Everybody in here has been hurt by a comment. So there are things that we need to understand that are not true. There are things that we say and we've heard and absolutely not true. So we need to reorientate the way that we speak. We need our negative speaking patterns pointed out to us. We need to switch from the speaking of the bound to the language of the blessed. And we begin to say some things. It's not wrong. It's not some positive, you know, confession type deal. I'll show you that in just a moment. Because you can say stuff and it's not true. You can say some stuff, it's not real to you. What you need to do is get both your heart and your mouth in line. We talked about it a little bit. Is my words matter? My words matter. In fact, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at this. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. So there's a believing and a speaking. All right. Watch this. Go to the next one. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And I showed you that it is important what you say. All right, let's do a little impromptu here. Let me just do a little impromptu. Meet me a chair back here. Let me ask you, who in here has ever been a waitress or is a waitress? Right? Anybody got a waiter or a waitress in here? Anybody? Come on here, everybody. Come here. We're gonna do a little impromptu. Come on. All right. Let me turn me off just. This is over and over, so we're ready to go now. Here's the scene. I'm in a restaurant. I've come in. They brought water. I'm sitting there. The waiter now is coming to take my order. Let's get you. I know you love this. Let's get you a microphone here. Everybody loves to be microphoned. All right, I'm sitting at Brunei's restaurant right here, all right? I've come in, and here comes the waiter now to take my order.
How are you doing, sir? My name is Jake. I'll be taking your order today. Can I get you anything to drink or eat to start with? Some shrimp? Steak? Hello? Okay.
He's away for about 15, 20 minutes. That's on a good day. And now they're bringing my order back.
Here you go, sir. We've got some lobster for you.
What is that? I don't like lobster.
Well, you didn't even tell me what you wanted.
I give him a hand. That's the whole, at the end of the skit. The Bible says, there's a scripture in James that says, you have not because what? Or you ask and ask amiss. You know, some of us, we say something, but that's not what our heart is. Some of us, we never ask and we wonder why we never receive. And the Bible says we have to understand that what we say is what we receive. There is a importance to you. Everybody say, me and my big mouth, would you? Can you imagine going to a restaurant and just letting the waiter or somebody choose your food? You're the hit and miss proposition. And yet God is the same way. The Bible says we're going to intermix asking and praying and receiving. But this God's the same way. The Bible says with the mouth confession is made. And you have to understand that your mouth is very important to your asking. Now I want to look at, go to Ephesians chapter 3. Let me put these two together. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Everybody say ask or think. You've got to think this. Ask or think. Until you get your thinking straight, you'll not get your asking straight. Your asking is connected to your thinking. Look at James. Look what James chapter 1 verse 5 says. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith. Everybody say in faith. Let him ask in, that's what I told you. It's not just coming out with stuff out of your mouth. You've got to ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts like the wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. One of the keys about asking and me and my big mouth, your big mouth has to be operating in faith. You have to believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth. You have to listen, but you have to come to a place where you have to understand your negative thinking and getting out of it. But the Bible says we are to ask in faith. Let me explain to you how you got saved. Whether you know it or not, most of us were unsaved at one point. That's all of us. And what we did was we didn't walk around in faith. We were unsaved. We did not walk around, I'm just full of faith. I'm just full of, and so today I think I'm going to get saved. I'm going to ask, that's not the way salvation occurred. Let me show you. You were saved by faith. But let me ask, watch this. But you didn't have any of it. You were saved by faith. But you didn't, look how it happened. Go to Ephesians, look at this next scripture. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. But you didn't have any of that. You didn't have any faith. You were unsaved. You didn't have the word of God. You were unsaved. Now watch what it says. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your doing, own doing. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no man... Go back to verse 8. Notice what happened. You have been saved, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. What happened was that the Spirit of God came and convicted you. And we all have a will. And those that would choose that when God came and began to open our hearts... We had the ability to say, to choose and say, I want God. But that is not what happens to save you. There is a gift that God gives you, and God gives you the gift of faith, a measure of faith, the Bible says. He gives you a measure of faith by grace, which is, means unmerited. You didn't deserve it. It wasn't yours because of some great doing of yours. It was simply the mercy and the grace of God. And God gave you faith to be able to respond to his conviction. And you gave your life to the Lord by faith. And that's not your own doing. It was the gift of Almighty God that gave it to you. Look at the next scripture. Look what it says. Go to the next one. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know what that meant? That meant he's the author of your faith. You didn't do it yourself. You didn't work it up. God was the author. Jesus was the author of your faith. And what you did was this. You responded and he gave you faith and you reached out to God. But you were a million miles from, you know what Jesus does? He takes your hand and he takes your hand and he moves it and pulls you and brings it and puts your hand in the hand of God and he finishes your faith. Come on, somebody. He finishes it. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Look at somebody say, he's the finisher of our faith. Would you say it, somebody? But it's baby faith. It's where your faith begins. So God begins to feed us. He begins to lead us and feed us and give us grace. And just like a normal baby, there is a season when the baby is completely taken care of by mom and dad, especially by mom. And they feed them and help them. And there's a season in our life when God gives us the grace of faith. And he feeds us and there's faith given us. And every time he takes our hand and he finishes, he puts it in. And so what he does is that begins. But that is baby faith. But at some point in our lives, God requires us to mature and begin to walk in faith. I believe that he will always be our finisher of our faith. I believe he will always, till the day I die, be the finisher of my faith. I don't believe, I've come to this rest. He is God and I am not. Come on, somebody. I'm just secure in that. I don't have any identity problems. I'm not God. Come on, look at somebody and say, you're not God either. Yeah, you're not God either, just in case there's a mistaken identity in this place. And what happens is, in my life, as I do all that I can do as a natural person, God takes my hand and puts my hand in the hand of God because he is the author and the finisher of my faith. Jesus always has been and always will be. But as we grow older, though, there is a maturity that he requires of us in our faith life. It's not the same as you would do in the natural with a baby. As they grow, there's some things, but there's some things you always do. How many know you never stop raising your kids? Come on, somebody. You get different levels and all the things, but there's always that role that you play. And he will always be the finisher of our faith. He will always be, we've done all that we can do, then you leave it all in his hands. And he'll take your hand and put your hand in the hand of God. He'll always be the mediator. He'll always be the go-between. He'll always be the need of our life. Because he is the finisher, not only the author, he's the finisher. But read these verses with me, and I want you to, we'll go through these next ones pretty quick. And I want you to answer this question, why these people received what they received. Notice what he says, go ahead. And he said to the woman, your what? Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Next one. And he said to her, daughter, your what? Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Next one. And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your what? Your faith has made you well. Next one. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your what? Your faith has made you well. So there are this time, when he begins to list these, the reason is these people received what they received was because of their faith. And God wants us to mature in the faith of our lives, to begin to understand that. In the Bible, there are different levels of faith that's mentioned. I'll just show you a few of these. Go through these real quick. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still, everybody say what? See, there's a level called no faith. Look at the next one. But Jesus, aware of this, said, oh, ye of what? Go from no faith up to little faith. Go to the next one. He did not weaken in faith. Everybody say weak faith. Go from no faith to little faith, weak faith. Go to the next one. Nor distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong. Everybody say strong. He grew strong in his faith. And then look at the last one. Then Jesus answered her and woman, great. Everybody say great. Great faith. Did I have all those listed there? No faith to little faith, weak faith, strong faith, and great faith. Where do you fall on this list of faith in here in your life? Faith cometh by hearing, not heard. Faith cometh by it's what you're hearing right now determines your faith. Not what you heard, not what you know, but it's what you're hearing right now. It's what your heart's hearing. It's what you're listening to. That's why Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Because hearing, faith cometh by your hearing. That's why Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Because that determines your faith. If you say, "Oh, woe is me," did you see the report on the economy from Bloomberg yesterday? Who told you that? What did God say? What did God say about your situation? What did God? You know, last week I told you the story about the guy that said, "I decided not to participate." You got to come to a place sometimes where you decide not to participate in the roller coaster of this world. Our God is not a roller coaster God. He's a straight God. He's on high. He's not changed. He doesn't bite his nails. He's got all of his fingernails in place. And one of the things we need to understand is have the faith of God. Begin to mature in our faith. Begin to live a life of hearing, and by that hearing begin to move in faith. One of the best definitions is in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, now faith is the assurance. I like this because that's what the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now read this. Everybody read this with me, would you? Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's one of the best definitions of faith. And I want to diagram this so you can see this. And go ahead and put my diagram up. The Bible says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So that first X I want to represent as things hoped for. And then over here on the right-hand side, the other X is going to be symbolizing when you actually receive what it is that you're believing for, what you have faith for. So between the thing where you, things that you're hoping for, and those things actually you're receiving them, is this thing called faith. Because we don't know how long that arrow is. It could be a minute. It could be instantaneous. It could be a month. It could be a year. It could be a life. We don't know how long that is. That belongs to God and God alone. But what our part of our life is, this is the formula. I'll kind of explain it to you in just a second. But let me begin this way. The first thing that's needed ingredient before you let your big mouth run. And one of the guys came up to me last week and said, you know, my problem with my mouth is it goes in gear before my brain goes in gear. But let me modify that. A lot of you let your mouth get in gear before your heart or your faith gets in gear. Because you've got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. If you're confessing stuff with your mouth that you don't believe in your heart, it's not going to happen. And one of the keys is this, but before you can even do that, I'm going to back up to the very basics and start, because there's a lot of people have not even begun with the basics, and let me explain it to you. Number one is this: before you can have faith, you've got to have something to have faith for. Before you can begin to move in faith, faith is not some, you know, oblivious, you know. Faith has to do with specifics. Faith has to do with something that is specific. One of the greatest things you can do, I told my staff the other day, was start journaling in your life. Start journaling the prayers that you pray, and then put ask on this certain date, and then put over here when they were answered. That's specific. I used to hate when we used to have men that come that were moving in the gifts, and they said, "I feel in this vast auditorium somebody's got a headache somewhere. So who's got a headache in this place? You've got to come on here, brother." The king in the days of Daniel had more sense than that. He had a dream, and he said, "I want you to interpret my dream." And the magician said, "Well, tell us your dream." He said, No, I know what you're going to do. I'll tell you your dream. You'll make up something. Here's how we're going to work this. He said, "If you're real magicians, you tell me my dream and then tell me the interpretation." I like it when they point. I see, you know, the Lord told me there's a woman, there's a man, and you're this old, and you're right there. How many like that? You like that better? I like that better. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I can tell you're enthused about that. So one of the keys about it is, let me ask you a question. What are you having faith about? It's like the little thing we did here. I never said what I wanted. I never would speak what I wanted. There was nothing on my heart. And there was nothing hoped for. There was no things hoped for. And I don't believe God, you can pray in some vague way and get an answer from God. Dr. Cho was a great example. You know, he's got the greatest church in the world. He told the way that he learned this. He said one time when he was young, he was praying for a bicycle. He said, "Oh God, give me a bicycle. Lord, give me a bicycle. And he says, year after year would go by, he wouldn't get a bicycle. And finally, he said, the Lord spoke to him and says, I don't know what kind of bicycle you want. Now, God could have given him a bicycle. I understand that. You know what God does? The bicycle was immaterial. What God was going to do was teach Dr. Cho how to pray in faith. You know what Dr. Cho did? He wrote it down. I want a red bicycle with a horn. I want a horn so I can, I want a horn, and I want white walls on the wheels, and I want this size. He said within 1 week, he had gotten that exact bicycle. Oh, God, give me a husband. Oh, God, give me a wife. What kind you want? Well, we won't go there. We'll leave that right there. Look at Mark. Look at Mark chapter 10. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man and said to him, take heart, get up, he's calling you. Throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Now, you know they were leading him. You know, he was blind. They were leading him over there. Look at verse 1. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, I don't know about you. The guy's been screaming out there on the roadside. He's blind as a bat. They're leading him up there. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Do you know what that means? Jesus is not looking for some vague, bless me, oh God. Oh God, just bless me. He's asking specifically, what do you want? It's what the waiter just did. The waiter came to me at the table and said, what do you want? I never said a word. Well, then he just went there and got what he wanted to give me. But that's not what I really wanted. So the key in your life is, what do you want? What do you want? Now, I don't know. I've had kids. Yeah, come ahead.
Your wife with the big mouth.
Oh, I'm going to say something. Go ahead. Oh, you want to give you one? She's on fire, I'm telling you. Wait a second. Here, come on. Go ahead.
About 24 years ago, that's what I was telling my dad for a husband, and he was telling me to be specific. So I wrote a list of 10 things and put it in my Bible. And I was about 28 by then, so you can imagine I kind of had seen what I wanted. There were two things out of the 10 that Terry didn't fulfill. One of them was he was not Armenian, and I guess you can see that. And the other one was I was in the Nazarene church at the time, and I said I wanted somebody with the Nazarene background, and you know, he can be a Nazarene. And the Lord fulfilled that in just a few months. Those of you that are looking for a husband or a wife, write it down and put it in your Bible and be specific with the Lord.
Amen. I'm an 80% husband. Come on, somebody. Look at James. Look what James says. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet, cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you don't ask. Can you imagine sitting at a restaurant? I looked around and I just said, you know, there's a person over there with some catfish. And I just kind of walked by there and said, look over there. Grabbed their catfish, stole the thing, put it on my desk. You know why? Because I didn't ask. I didn't say. I didn't confess. I wasn't speaking what I needed. And so what happens in life is this. One of the biggest things, number two, is this, is you need to have a desire for what you want. Yeah, I'll have some, I don't know, I'll have some gumbo, I guess, just some gumbo. How many can tell I didn't have much desire there? You know, one time, Mo, I don't know if you ever, I used to have Toyotas, and I used to take them over and get them worked on at Mo's. Ever had a car worked on at Mo? Mo was a Vietnamese a guy over there, and he was a great guy. And went over there one time, and he's talking about a great family. I went over there to have a car worked on, and he said, just wait, take a couple hours. And I saw I just waited there on him to fix my car. And it was around 11 o'clock. And around noon, his wife come out and said, come on, boys, come eat. I said, okay, great. Mo said, come on, come eat with us. So I sat down there, and I looked at the table spread for me. And not being from Vietnam, There was nothing there that I desired. Come on, somebody. And I used to be, this before I got married, I used to be a finicky eater. When we got married, I weighed 135 pounds. Can you imagine? I weighed 135 pounds. I hadn't seen that in a long time. I weighed 135 pounds. I just didn't eat a lot. And I looked at this table spread for me, and let me tell you something. I didn't ask for anything. You know why? Because I had no desire. Desire triggers asking. Is that right? Desire, that's why when you go in like Brunei's, you look at it, let me have the cat. No. Let me have and you go through, and you want too much because you like it all. And desire begins to trigger your asking. Look what it says in Mark 11. It's exactly, it says, therefore I say to you, what things soever you what? You desire. Because desire is a key of asking. If you don't desire your husband saved, if you don't desire your wife saved, if you don't desire the gift, if you don't desire things, then what it does is that stops you from asking. Because desire always triggers your asking. Desire always begins. That's why when you're sick, you just don't, I don't have any desire to eat. Listen, you've got to come to a place where the Bible says the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violent take it by force. I'm not talking about in the natural. I'm talking about in the spirit realm. If you don't get some desire in you, desire to see used of God, desire to see your marriage grow, desire, it triggers your asking. That's why a lot of people never ask, is because they never have a desire. And you've got to do that. Desire is a key of your life. And asking is triggered by desire. Whatsoever things you desire. Now, how many of you, there's something in your life that God has promised. There's something in the word that you've seen. There's something maybe, you know, like we talked about, a wife or a husband. But you've got to come to the place where there's something in your life that you desire. You know, and sight, many times sight is what will trigger your desire. Jesus looked on the sheep, the people as sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible says, and he groaned. And it came where he asked, pray the Father that he would send forth laborers. There begins to be this desire in you. 1 Corinthians 14, it says, pursue love and earnestly do what? Some of you sit back and go, I don't know why God never uses me in the gifts. Because you don't desire them. And because you don't desire them, you don't ask God to use you. Now get this. You've got to earnestly desire. Go to the next one. He goes quite a, it says, earnestly desire the higher gift. Go to the next one. Look what it says. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy. There needs to be this desire is a good word. It's not a streetcar. It's a good word. Come on, somebody. It's a good word in the kingdom of God. It's to desire things. There begins to be, and when you desire something, you begin to ask. Desire is a good word. It's using, when God begins to desire, it means to see something you want and to go after it with all your might. Jacob, even though all of his bad qualities, Jacob was a man of desire. Esau, his brother, was not. Jacob wanted stuff. He had a desire. He had a desire to have the birthright. He had a desire of what the firstborn got. He had a desire for that. And so he went after it. He did some wrong stuff. But God looked at the heart and he had a desire for the things of God. He had a desire. So he got the blessing. He got the birthright. He got all that. You know why? Because he had a desire in his heart. And there's a lot of people just kind of, you just sit around just kind of herky jerky. They need to get a desire in your life. And then that's the second thing. Then look at the next one. Things hoped for. When you get that in your mind, when you get some desire, when you begin to get specific, when you begin to stop praying just for a bicycle, you pray for a red bicycle, you stop just praying for a husband, you want a husband godly, you want a husband with a job, that's a good part, but I put a job in there, I don't know about you girls, but I'm going to tell you, if so-and-so is just, if you're paying for the dates, you got to cross that one off right there, just cross it off. Because listen, working was not part of the curse. Before the curse ever happened, the Bible says God put Adam in the garden for him to work. Come on, somebody. So, well, just that's from a father's point of view. So when you do that and you get things hoped for and you've got the desire and you begin to get specific and you begin to really go after things hoped for, you've got a specific something you're praying for. Then the next one is this. Faith is the, look at Hebrews 11. It says, faith is the assurance. Everybody say assurance. What faith does, faith is the assurance. And I sum up, it's the conviction of things not seen. After you have a clear objective, what you want, burning desire, then pray through. Here's the key. Pray through until you get the assurance in your heart. Let me explain how I've done my life. When I've got something that I want and I'm praying about, I've got a desire for that. What I start doing is this. I start praying. I said, oh, God, thank you. God, I begin to pray. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard to explain, but at some point in my prayer, there is a peace that passes understanding drops in my heart. And it's like I have it. It is like my countenance changes. It's like Hannah in the Old Testament. She was a woman. She was a wife and she had no child. And the Bible says she went before the Lord and she wept and she cried and the priest came and the Bible says he saw her and went through a little whatever. And finally, when she said what it was, he said, the Lord says to you, this time next year, you will have a baby. You know what happened? Her face changed. The sadness went away. Smile came on her face. She got up, the Bible says, washed herself, began to go back with a different countenance. Why is that, Hannah? You've got the baby in your arm. No, no, no. I don't have the baby yet. I just have a promise. I'm now walking in faith. I've heard the voice of the Lord. He said something to me. It hasn't come to pass yet. I haven't actually received it yet, but I'm walking now. I've stopped. I've gone away from just hoping for a baby. I'm now walking in faith toward my baby. I'm now walking toward the act. Put my diagram back up. I'm now walking toward the actual receiving of what I've things hoped for. I've got specific. I want a baby, Lord. I want a baby. And now I prayed it through until I've heard the voice of the Lord. Peace has come in. And now I'm walking it. I don't know. They said about a year. So I'm walking. I know mine's going to be about a year. Most of the time, we don't know the time frame. But she's walking that out. And she's walking. I know it's going to happen. I'm now walking in faith. And the day will come. I know she knew it kind of a roundabout way. But most of us may not know when that second X is. But we know when it's been dropped in our heart. And we know that we know that we know. And what you do during that period is you don't keep asking the Lord, oh, God, would you please give me a baby? Oh, God, would you please? She didn't, listen, from that ex, when she started walking in, she heard the word of God. She didn't walk that faith. I said, oh, God, please give me a baby. Oh, God, please give me a, you know what she did? Thank you, Lord. 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 Come on, somebody. Your asking turns to thanking. Your asking turns to praise. You got it in your hands? No, I haven't got it. But I'm not living on. I'm living on a promise. I'm living on what the Lord has said. I'm living on the promise I've received. And now, well, come on, somebody say amen. So you begin to live it. Philippians says this. Philippians 4. Go ahead. Be not anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. Prayer. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I've learned there are seasons when I've waited before God and I get the answer. I get the promise. I hear the voice of God. Then I start walking in faith. And that, you know how I know I've got it? Because faith brings peace. And now I'm walking in the peace of God. It may be a year, it may be a month, it may be 10 years. I don't know. I'm just walking in faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Come on, somebody say amen. Thank you. Begin to walk. See, listen, how do I know when I have the assurance? It's the peace of God that comes in. All right, now, me and my wife's big mouth. Look at this one. Go to Romans chapter 4. There was a man, says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe. believe. Now, that's when you get your big mouth in gear. It's when you began to look. And then you let your desire begin to grow. And your desire triggers your asking. Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want. I've looked the world over and that's what I want. Then you begin to weigh on God and you begin to seek God. And the specific thing that you've listed that you want, it drops in your heart and you know you've got the house. You know it, that you know. And then you begin to walk in faith. It's during that walking in faith that you release your big mouth. Come on, somebody. You begin to call those things that are not yet as though they were. Some men see things that are and say why. Others see things that never were and say why. You begin to speak those things that are not yet as though they are. You, the same spirit of faith. Everybody say a spirit of faith. According to what has been written, I believed. And so I spoke. We also believe. And so we also speak. Let's use the example now. Look at this. That is why it depends on faith. Everybody say it depends on faith. Everything rests on faith now. In order that the promise may rest on grace. Remember that deal? And be guaranteed to all his offspring. Not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls to in existence. Now leave it right there on 17. The things that do not exist. Now think, said, I have made you the father of many nations. Abraham was an old, old man at this point. He had no kids, and we're talking pre-Viagra. Come on, somebody. He was old. He was out of touch. And God came to him and said, Abraham, I have made you the father of many, without a child, without a kid. He says, in the presence of God, whom he believes, he gives life to the dead, calls to existence things that do not, look at verse 18. In hope, he believed against hope. That he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead. Come on, somebody. No Viagra, no nothing. Good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver. You know why? Because he'd heard the voice of God. And he was on the faith walk. Listen, he'd heard. He had you're talking about a burning desire. This man wanted a son. He wanted a boy. He wanted offspring. He wasn't some vague, oh God, just bless me. Oh God, thank you for blessing our family. Bless our family. Some vague thing. You want God wants? God wants specific. God wants when a blind man's brought to him. Maybe the guy, what do you want? Well, God knows what I want. God knows everything. If that's a shebang, he can put it all away. God is teaching us how to operate and move like he moves. God said, let there be. He didn't say, let there be, let there be, let there be. He didn't sing it like, he said, let there be light. Let there be water. Let the heavens bring forth. Let the waters bring. He said specifically what he wanted. Listen, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory. Listen, when he's on that faith walk, he's glorifying it. Thank you for that boy. Thank you, Lord, for that boy. Look what he said. Verse 21. Do I have verse 21? Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised that he was going to do. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Is that as far as I don't have far? Is that as far as I got on that one? I don't even remember. Yeah. Listen. He called those things as though they were not. Look at verse 17. He called those things. Go back. As I've made you father of many nations in the presence of God in whom you believe. He gives life to them and he calls into existence the things that do not exist. Here's how it worked. Abraham's name was not Abraham. His name was Abram. You know this. Let me just say it for this purpose. And Sarah was not Sarah. It was Sarah. It was Sarah. And their names meant this. When God changed their name, the name Abraham means the father of many nations or the father of many children. And Sarah means, Sarah, when you put the extra A there, it becomes the mother of many children, or the mother of many nations. And so what happened was when God came and says, I'm going to change your name now from what it was to you will be called the father of many children. And Sarah, I'm going to change your name, and your name now is going to become the mother of many children. Do you know what they did for the next decades? It took decades for this to come. Do you know what they did for the next decades? Every time the townspeople heard them, dinner time. Sarah's in there cooking. She hollers out the window, Abraham! That's her big mouth. Come on, somebody. Abraham! You know what she's saying? Father of many children, supper! Mother of many children, I'm coming home! You know what? Put my diagram back if you can find it. You know what they're doing now? They're in their faith walk now. And they're letting their big mouths run. Come on, somebody. You can imagine somebody new comes in town. What's your name? Abe. Oh, you're the... What's your name? I'm the father of many children. Oh, let me see. He pulls that alligator skin billfold out, opens it up, and all those cellophane, picture category come out, and they're all empty. Stranger looks at him and says, oh no, they just haven't materialized yet, but they are coming. So me and my big mouth, we're saying what God said. He believed, so he spoke. I have believed, and so I speak. I'm the father of many, many children. And decades went by. And you know the story. He got off and he did waver. He did waver at one point. I won't get into all that. But grace covers all that stuff up. And what we're experiencing today is but listen, everybody say me and my big mouth, would you? All right, that's all I got. Everybody stand up. That's the end of the sermon day. Come on, stand up. Look at somebody and say, you know, do you have a big mouth? Just say, you got a big mouth. Just ask somebody, you got a big mouth? Put Proverbs 18 back up. And let me just say this. Now, let me ask you a question today. Are you on the wrecking crew or are you on the building crew? Are you on the wrecking crew? Death and life. At some point, Abraham could have said, you know what? I think I'm kind of embarrassed. I need to go back to Abram, you know. Let's just go back to Abram. No. He did not waver. He did not grow weak in faith. He kept saying it. He'd heard from God. And he kept calling his name Abraham. And he kept, every time he could look at Sarah and said, well, she is kind of, you know, she is kind of old and there ain't no, you know, chemicals today. And there was no man singing that song and all that kind of stuff. And he could have looked at her and said, you know, I think I better start calling you Sarah again. But he never did. The Bible says throughout that decades, she kept saying Abraham heard her big mouth. And he kept saying Sarah, he and his big mouth. And you know what? They confessed together. Come on, somebody. One of the best things you can do in your family is for you and your wife to get an agreement. And you guys start having big mouths together. Come on, somebody. Come on, give the Lord a good clap off for this morning, would you? I want you just to close your eyes. Don't just close your eyes. Let me ask you a question. Are you not saved here this morning? You're not really a child of God. And you wonder, how I don't know, Pastor, I what do you do? Let me tell you what you do. God is brought into your life. He convicts you of your life. And he opens your eyes to say, I need a different life. I'm going the wrong direction. That's the beginning of it. And you know what the key about it is? You don't have any faith. You don't have any ability to get saved. You don't have any ability to do any of that kind of stuff. You don't. None of us did. What it was that first scripture says, it is a gift of God. It is grace through faith, not of yourself, but it's a gift from God. You know what Jesus wants to do? He wants to be the author and the finisher of your faith right now. You know what he'll do? If you'll say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, Lord, I believe that you lived and you died for my sins. I believe I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe that you were buried. I believe, though, that you're alive. I want to believe that. You know what happens? He will come to you right now, and he'll take your hand. And he's what makes up the gap. He's what makes up what you're short in. He will take your hand and bring it and put it in the hand of God. And he will be your mediator. He'll be your go-between. He'll be that. He'll be not only the author, the originator of your faith. He not only will give it to you, he'll be the finisher of it. He'll bring you into a new life. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. And for the rest of your life, you don't go strong in your own might. You go strong in his might. You go strong in his ability. You grow strong with leaning upon the Lord. You grow strong loving him and trusting him. You grow strong by hearing him daily. And what you hear, then your faith comes alive and you grow strong. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone that has a desire, everyone that has a desire to see their life changed, to see their future revamped, to see their family completely rechanged. Everyone that wants to get saved right now, Lord, I ask you, Lord, speak to them in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that they be an open heart right now. If you want to do that, here's what you say. I want everybody in this place to pray with them, and we're going to pray together. Say, Dear Jesus, I surrender this morning. I need you. Would you save me? Give me faith by grace to be saved. Take my hand and put it in the hand of God. Forgive me of all my sin. Save me, Lord. Come into my life. Take over. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody say amen this morning. Give Lord a good clap offering. Would you do that? Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord let his countenance rise on you. The Lord give you peace in your prayer time. The Lord speak to you over the desires of your heart. The Lord give you the desires of your heart. And then I pray that the Lord then triggers and your asking would become specific. And then as you wait on God, that the dropping of his word in your heart would bring faith. And then to glorify God, you would grow strong in that walk until that which you're believing for comes to pass. I pray for your mouth. I pray there be an anointing upon your mouth that the negative lifestyle, the negative way of speaking would be swept aside and you would become strong and a big mouth for the promises of God. That you reorientate yourself, that you revamp your thinking and your thinking would trigger your talking. And you would talk faith, and you would speak faith, and you would be an oracle of God. Let me tell you how important it is in leaving. I had a pastor friend. He said he was in a McDonald's one day, and he was meeting with a couple of his leaders. And he said he was sitting there, and he was talking and sharing with them, and just discipling them, just pouring into their life. 3 hours he was there. He said at the end of about 3 hours, he said the most remarkable thing happened. He said a lady got up in the booth beside them. He hadn't noticed her, but afterwards he said the two guys on the other side facing that way said she'd been there the whole time. And they said, we could tell she's eavesdropping. We didn't know why, but she's eavesdropping. She got up and she walked over that table with tears in her eyes. And she said, you'll never know what I was about to do. She said, there was breakfast. I'd woken up, I had not slept the whole night, and I came to McDonald's. And I had come here to make a decision. I was going home to commit suicide today. But when I sat in this booth, I listened to what came out of your mouth. And she said, I was riveted. I couldn't move. And she said, for 3 hours, I sat there and listened to what you said. And it absolutely changed my life. I'm now, and she asked where their church was, and he told me she's become a faithful member of their church. Love God. You know why? Because I believe, so I spoke. What you say is so important. What you say, and back it all the way back up to faith walking, to hearing from God, to desire, to ask, back all that up and do it right. But it can make a difference in a life. So you don't know who all is listening to you at work. You know, there's some things God puts us through. It's not even about us. It's about somebody else or about doing. It's for the glory of God. Come on. It's for the glory of God. And so in your life, it's so important. We live in a negative world. Negativity sells. It on the news, from the news to papers, whatever, it sells. But somebody has to say what God's saying. Somebody has to be an oracle of God. Somebody has to begin to say what is true and call those things that are not as though they were. Father, I bless this congregation this week to be oracles of God, to speak the truth and to be to what is real. And we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Give the Lord one more good clap offering, would you? God bless you. Go in the name of the Lord. Be blessed today.